This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you as we're going to be joined in a few minutes by one of our good friends, Johnny Venezia. He does great work over at RotoWire. He does a tremendous job with the Breaking Bet podcast, and we've got ourselves a College World Series that is set between the LSU Tigers and the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. We have to break it down with him as Johnny has been just such an ace on the college baseball front all season long. So he's going to be joining me in 15 minutes as we've got a lot of baseball coming up in this hour. We've got 16 total games on the card for this Thursday because we now have a pair of twin bills with all of the rain that we saw out there in the Midwest. So we're going to be breaking all that down. We're going to be trying to get you guys some plays and some winners there. And certainly do have some thoughts with some of these teams that are ascending slash declining. Looking at you, New York Yankees, in terms of the teams that are declining. But we also do have ourselves some funky spots with the double dips. We had a game out there in Cincinnati that was just all sorts of rain. I mean, they got it in. But man, that was a wet one. So we're going to be breaking that down and so much more. But first things first, we can't do the breakdowns without you guys being able to see and hear the show clearly. And I have to give credit to everyone behind the scenes that make VSiN what it is. The folks out there in the back that they make sure that you are able to hear everything, that you're able to get all of your shows on demand. They are the best in the business. We've got my technical director who handles all the graphics, Alexis, doing an absolutely amazing job out there. I know that Jaren does a tremendous job on this front as well. Everything that you see in terms of the odds over at VSiN.com, YouTube TV, just wherever you're watching VSiN, they do absolutely excellent work. You've got my producer and my associate producer, Jared and Johnny, doing a nice job, of getting me set up for success. And I am credit to Jared. He was able to straighten me out because for some reason I was thinking Cincinnati was Central Time Zone. It's actually Eastern Time Zone. So that's a very good catch there. That's the deep dives that you get from these men that are making sure that we are getting all squared away. So big thanks to them. And if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, if you're listening on the just wherever you get your podcast, because every single hour of every single show, you go to vsiN.com/podcast, you're able to catch all of it. That is every single show, every single day. You've got our man who does a tremendous job of getting me set up for success in Chris. So I appreciate all of these guys. They do an amazing job. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They are the best in the business. And because they're the best, we need to find you guys some winners. And I did mention it. This game got called right around about midnight Eastern time. They finally decided that Twins versus Reds was not worth playing anymore. After six innings, the Reds were able to get the win by a count of 4-2. Now, I am someone that I played the total over in this game. If you took a full game over, well, you, much like me, are going to be getting a refund on this one because they just were not able to get in the full nine innings. You have to have the losing team get 27 outs in terms of the full game totals with regards to these games. So always be mindful of that. And hopefully we get a little bit more of a dry one for this Thursday. And how about if we start right there? Because it is such an interesting circumstance between these two teams, as it is Chris Paddock, who's going to be on the bump for Minnesota. And you've got Nick Martinez on the bump for the Reds. The total on this game is 9, shaded up to the over. And for the Reds, they're between -107 to -115 favorites, right in that neighborhood, about like -105, -103 is where you're finding the Minnesota Twins. And I do like Nick Martinez in this spot. I would be willing to go up to a -115 on the Reds on the money line. For the Reds, it's been very intriguing with them as well, because they always call Great American Ballpark Great American Small Park, but they've actually been scoring more runs when they've been on the road rather than at home. Now, you do have Ellie De La Cruz, who's been about as hot as a furnace. He's been supplying the team with 15-plus home runs, giving you north of a .350 on base, and is showing why he's one of the brightest stars in all of baseball. Who else is going to be able to help out this team? You've got a few guys that move the line in a T.J. Friedl, who's been able to give you north of a .380 on base. Gavin Lux really doesn't give you a lot of power, but he finds way on base, north of a .360 on base as well. And then you've just been sort of mixing and matching with someone like a Christian Encarnacion Strand coming off the injury list. So these guys have been relatively solid, but I do like the fact that for Nick Martinez, he keeps things out in front of him. Is he going to blow you away? No, he's not. He's getting less than 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's giving up fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings. Does not get beat by the deep ball with about a home run allowed per 9 innings. And this is a Minnesota Twins lineup that they're shall we say, about league average with regards to their run scoring. They're averaging in that neighborhood of, I would say, a little bit over 4 runs per contest. So they've been able to give you a bit of this and that, and they're right in the neighborhood about 16th to 17th in terms of runs per game. I just don't know who that guy that you really fear outside of Byron Buxton is. Byron Buxton has been able to give you 12 home runs this year. Trevor Larnach has been able to do an okay job for this bunch as well. But outside of those two guys, I mean, it's just ho-hum. You sometimes get Harrison Bader on base. Sometimes you don't get Harrison Bader on base. You don't know what you're going to be able to get out of the bottom of the lineup. Matt Wallner, since coming off the injury list, hasn't necessarily been amazing. So you do have your question marks there. And what else is bigger is looking at the recent form of this bullpen. Because for the Minnesota Twins, if you look overall for the season, they're in the upper half of the big leagues. So in terms of bullpen ERA, they've been able to do a relatively solid job there. But if you look at what they've done over the last 30 days, it's a Twins bullpen that's went straight down the toilet bowl. How about them being 27th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, hovering right around about 532. Now the top guys have been the top guys. You now have Danny Kaluma off the injured list. He, along with Yoan Duran, have been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. You've still been able to have Cole Sands be able to give you some relatively solid innings along with Louis Varland, but I've seen some of these guys like Griffin Jacks just have a rough go of it in general. And then for the Cincinnati Reds, it's been a little bit of an adventure for their bullpen as well. They are in the bottom 5 of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA over the last 30 days as well, with Emilio Pagan being a guy that gives up a lot of deep balls. I just really don't have a lot of faith in him, but likes of Tony Santian, Taylor Rogers, I do think that they're going to be able to go out there, do a nice job. And then additionally, you do have to take a look at the human element of things as well. This is a game that these two teams had a long rain delay in to start with. They get in 6 innings. They then have to wait for the just second rain delay. They decide to call it after 6 innings. And now they are playing this game at 12:40 p.m. Eastern time. So a little bit more than 12 hours from now, especially for a team in the Minnesota Twins that they have to head back to the hotel. It's a little bit of wear and tear. Typically, I do like to take a look at unders in these spots. I was in on the under anyway, so I mean, that gives me all the more value there. I do like this under, and I do like the Cincinnati Reds, given the circumstance on the money line, and you always want to be a part of this circumstance, taking your betting to the next level, and you're able to do so with First Bet. Sign up now at the #1stbet.com. That is the #1stbet.com. Promo code VSIN200 when you sign up. That is VSIN200. That scores you a 20% rebate on your wagers for the first 60 days, and that's for up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we dive in on a team that all of a sudden has gotten, shall we say, very hot? They have put together their second win streak on the road in less than a month. It's the Colorado Rockies. They're on the road against the Washington Nationals, and on credit to the Rockies, 4 straight road wins. You've got a guy in Trevor Williams who has been up and down, to say the least, going for the Washington Nationals in this one, and Chase Dolander, he goes for the Colorado Rockies. Dolander's game is 9.5, shaded down to the under, and for Washington, you've got them right around about a minus 145 to a minus 150 favorite. Now, this has been a very rough effort for the Washington Nationals recently. They have now lost, if I'm not mistaken, 11 straight games, and things have just gotten completely awry. For a bunch of, when it came to the month of May, it looked like they were really finding something. They were a top 7 team in terms of runs per game. Were they looking dominant? By no stretch of the imagination were they, but yeah, things have just really, really gone downhill for them. Now, I do think that this could be a good bounce-back spot for them. I do think that with the Colorado Rockies, this team is going to fall back to earth eventually. This is still a Colorado Rockies team that, if you look at the overall season-long sample size, 17-57. They are still on pace to lose far more games than the Chicago White Sox did in their historically bad 2024 campaign. Now for the Colorado Rockies, and they brought in some guys to be able to help out. Yes, you do now have Orlando Arcia, Therio Estrada, but it's not like these are like completely different guys than what we saw from the beginning of part of the season. You bring in those two guys, but I mean, you still have a lot of the same guys in the bullpen, Zach Ognos, Jake Bird, list goes on and on. Juan Mejia has actually been pretty solid for them as well, but I mean, this is still a Colorado Rockies team that they got themselves into the predicament where they had the worst 60-game start in MLB history. They've been able to get a little bit warm, but I do think that for the Nationals, they're going to be able to find their stride, especially with having a guy like a James Wood, who's been so good in the middle of the lineup, 18 home runs, supplying north of a .360 on base. You do have a team in the Nationals that does have quite a bit more power than what you've seen in past years. You've been able to get 10-plus homers this season out of Nathaniel Lowe, albeit he has been low with regards to his batting average, but you've been able to get good production there. You you do have some of these guys like a C.J. Abrams who's able to move the line. And I do think that for the Colorado Rockies, it is a case where you've got a young guy in Chase Dollander who's had a relatively rough go of it for the season. Now, if you look at him on the road, he's actually been far better than he has been at home. That's because Coors Field is just such a daunting place to be able to pitch. His ERA goes below a 450 when he's on the road. He's giving up closer about 1.4, 1.5 home runs per nine innings. At home, he's been giving up darn near three home runs per nine innings. And you have some pitchers with some very demonstrative home and road splits. Something to always be mindful of. Like I was mentioning it with Luis Severino and the A's in the game that we saw on Wednesday. And the A's, by the way, yeah, they got lambasted in that game with giving up the seventh spot in the sixth inning. But I do think that that's something that always need to be factored in, especially when you have these extreme stadiums like Sacramento, Colorado. There are just some places that are very much friendly to hitters, and obviously you want to do that on the flip side with like the Seattle Mariners pitchers, where it's very pitcher friendly out there in Seattle as well. Taking a look at those splits to really know what you're getting in terms of a road start like this, I think is paramount, and that's a big reason why I did take a shot on the under. Right now we're seeing that total at 9.5. Rockies are still dead last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game away from home. Have they been better recently? Yes, they put up those 10-plus spots over the last five games. They did so once against the Braves, once against Washington Nationals, but I mean, this is still the last team in the league in terms of on base percentage and runs per game on the road. And you've got a guy in Dolander who's been much better on the road. I'm personally going to be willing to take a shot on that Nationals run line at plus money, and I like the under. What else I love? Fact that we've got ourselves an amazing College World Series between LSU and Coastal Carolina. We're going to talk about that next with Johnny Venezia of RotoWire right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Johnny Venezia aboard. He does such amazing work over at RotoWire. Taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball. He does a great job with the Breaking Bet podcast as well. And Johnny, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
G-Unit, this is my time of year, kid. I just got to say, now everybody should understand why I love college baseball and why I live, breathe, eat, and sleep this sport all year. That there's no sport better than college baseball, and there damn sure is no postseason better than the College World Series. It is electric. This is the best sport in all of sports. No doubt about it. I'll take the College World Series over the Super Bowl any day of the week, and I think tonight proved why.
I think the only people that would disagree with you is anyone that had under 10 and a half runs in this game tonight. But that said, we saw an absolutely wild one between LSU and Arkansas. You mentioned it. LSU down two runs going into the ninth inning. Just a mind-numbing error from Arkansas that could have ended the game. Just how did you take a look at that game and the prospects for LSU moving forward against Coastal Carolina?
Yeah, so I got to be honest, I was surprised. I mean, Landon Bottleshies for Arkansas did really well tonight. This is a guy that's been battling a back injury towards later in the season, but he saved his best performance for tonight. I mean, he had a couple good starts throughout the year, but like this was his best start, bar none. LSU was able to grab the lead. Then my guy Chase Shore is a guy who I talked about well in the preseason as a guy who was my dark horse that could have been the top pitcher off the board because I knew what kind of stuff he was working with, the polish, how to get there. But as you could see, the stuff's insane. I mean, a 6'8 Haas, like the lesser version of Skeens with a fastball, it's up to 102, just insane. He kind of gave it back up. LSU couldn't turn a double play that would have got them out of the inning. Bear Jones missed that, and then he gets a home run to rectify the situation, tie 3-3, and then LSU kind of fumbles it at the top of the ninth, and they give up two runs, and I thought it was done. And then here we go, man. We got LSU. This is why it's so paramount in baseball, but especially college, man. In the postseason, you got to be able to put the ball in play. You put the ball in play, things happen. Luis Hernandez did that. Charles Davalon got a bad read on it, and then that tied the game. And then for some reason, they opted to pitch to Bear Jones with a runner with a base open. I don't understand that. And they paid the price. I would have rather faced anybody else in the LSU lineup except for Bear Jones. Like, I quite frankly can't comprehend that. He was so clutch tonight. And when you think the first game in his college road trip, he went 0-for-5 with 5 Ks. And the way he's rebounded the last two games, it's just been incredible, man. Just awesome stuff. LSU, resilience. This is why they were the team that I talked about as my preseason winner in January. I mean, I'm also with A&M and Virginia I liked as well. But LSU I felt was the most complete team coming in. And they proved just what kind of pedigree they have in the postseason. Just absolutely amazing. I think the decision to pitch to Bear Jones is going to be the thing that haunts them. Like, Wahivo Aloy is a Golden Spikes finalist, and he had a chance to turn two to end the game. I don't know what was going through his head. Charles Davalon error, that was a tough play. That ball was smoked right at him, and he slipped, and that's unfortunate for Arkansas, but that's a really tough play. But I think ultimately pitching to Jared Jones, just it didn't make any sense to me, and that's probably the thing that really ended up costing them because – you know, listen, there's a chance that Arkansas gets out of that with a tie game and then we're going to extras. I think it happened in the extra innings. But glad to see LSU pull through, man. That's what they do. That's why Jay Johnson's one of the top coaches in the country, man. He's got his guys ready for war at all times. And what a great game, dude. And it's just such a testament to what kind of place this sport is in. And it's only going up from here. It's only going up.
Oh, it certainly is. The amount of excitement that we've been seeing with this College Baseball World Series has been second to none. We got a no-hitter a few days earlier as well, so This has been just high, clean, family fun, as we do have Johnny Venezia doing great work over at RotoWire, joining me right here on the Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and with Coastal Carolina. They're the team that's going to be facing off against LSU, and this has been an incredible run for them. And for Coastal Carolina, they're on this very long win streak. They've just really ran through the College Baseball World Series. What sort of a test do you think that they're going to give LSU? Because I'm right now looking at that opening money line on DraftKings, and right now LSU in game number one is right now a 175 favorite.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina is live here. This is no pushover. Coastal won a Wild West regional. They didn't have to go through a powerhouse to get here. And I talked about this today. I sent out a tweet about it. But just because they didn't go through an Arkansas and LSU to get here doesn't mean their path wasn't difficult. Like, me handicapping the College World Series at the beginning of the week or beginning of last week before the action started was – any one of those four teams, Coastal, Oregon State, Louisville, Arizona, all had a chance. If the path broke their way, they were all going to be able to have a chance to get here. And the fact that Coastal got here, they're the hottest team in baseball. 26 straight wins, that's a joke. And, you know, they've done it all with pitching. And for anybody that hasn't followed Coastal or college baseball, I'll paint you a picture. Gary Gilmore is legendary head coach. Led them to the 2016 title. And the DNA recently of Coastal Carolina was always hit, hit, hit. This team was a top 10 offense in basically every major metric a couple of years ago, but they didn't really have a ton of pitching. Actually, that year in 23, when they were a top 10 offense among the country in basically every meaningful stat, I had them at 200-1 to win it all. So I'm a little sore that they're here now. I was a little early on the boat, but Kevin Schnall completely flipped this team's DNA. So now they're a pitch-first team with the ability to hit and speed over power, and they're just relentless, dude. And the fact is, like, I thought coming in that Coastal Carolina had the best weekend rotation 1, 2, and 3 in the field. And Riley Eichhoff is a guy who had a huge jump from last year. He's been amazing. Cam Flukie had a big jump from last year. Jacob Money Morrison. I'm such a huge fan of this kid. Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year. He had a rough 2023 as a frosh. Had Tommy John last year. And all he's done this season in his comeback is be one of the top pitchers in the country. Just can't say enough about him. The bullpen's deep. They have a superstar catcher in Kaden Bodine, who's going to be potentially a first-round pick. Best catcher in the country defensively. Great hit tool. Captain, clutch, always coming up in the big moment. This is going to be a tough out for LSU because of the way Coastal will be able to pitch. But I will say, Coastal hasn't faced an offense like LSU. They haven't faced a team like the Tigers. this is a different class here. And I think this is going to be a series that can definitely go three. So the pitching matchup, for those of you that love pitching, you're going to be in for a treat, because how I would probably project this as Saturday is going to be Kate Anderson, one of the biggest risers from the offseason to now, where Kate Anderson's got a legit chance to go 1-1 to Washington. That's not out of the cards. He's going to go Saturday, probably against Morrison. Sunday is going to be Anthony Ianson, who should be pretty much rested because his outing got cut short against UCLA the other day, where he only threw 45 pitches. So he should be good to go Sunday, basically full boat against, I would say, Cam Flukie, who hasn't thrown since, I think, last Friday. And then Monday's game, I think, is probably going to be Cason Evans, the freshman who's just been a rock for them. Maybe it could be some concoction that Jay Johnson throws out, depending on what happens in the first two games. And then I would think Riley Eichhoff takes the mound here. I think this is going to be a close series. I think it's probably going to be a lot of low-scoring games. I think we're going to see a good amount of unders here. And I have LSU winning this series. I had them since the preseason, and I'm sticking with my team here. I love this, man. This is just such a great matchup. You're in for such a treat here. And ultimately, I think LSU is the way to go. But I'm curious to see what the run lines are going to look like and what the totals come out to be. We're sitting on an LSU 9-1 ticket from the preseason. I also gave out Coastal 6-1 before the tournament, or before the College World Series finals started. And I gave out LSU over Coastal exact at +950 before Omaha started. So we're sitting in a position here where we're going to be able to cash some tickets regardless. So I do expect LSU to get this done. I'm going to say this goes three. I don't think Coastal is going to get swept 2-0. I like the Tigers to get this done in three games.
And then with that, we've got about 45 seconds remaining. Would you look at LSU game one a little bit more? And if the price is right, perhaps Coastal in game two?
I want to confirm the pitching matchups first. I mean, all I have is what's projected, in my opinion, based on, you know, rest factor and such. I can't go against Kate Anderson right now. And the fact is, like, Kate Anderson's big bugaboo this year was the home run. And we're in Omaha, where it's a lot tougher to hit it out, and Coastal's not a home run hitting team. We saw what Kate Anderson was able to do against Arkansas's lineup, which is one of the top offenses in the country, both in power and in average. I think Kate Anderson is a good matchup here for LSU against a Coastal team that is more hit first. Like, this kid has sugar Shane McClanahan vibes written all over him. That's why he's a legit case to go, not just top five, but maybe number one overall. So I think
I love it. And we'll talk a little MLB baseball next on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Johnny Venezia. He does such great work over here with RotoWire. Additionally, the Breaking Bet podcast. You're able to find that podcast wherever you get your podcast. He does such an incredible job breaking down this great game of college baseball. Always a pleasure to get him aboard. So big thanks to him. Very in-depth breakdown on Coastal Carolina, LSU, what we're going to be expecting out of that as that goes down on Saturday. But we've got plenty of baseball that is going to be happening on Thursday, as we've got all but two teams that are going to be in action in baseball. And we do have ourselves now 16 games, with a few games getting washed out for Wednesday. So that means that we've got ourselves a lot of fun for Thursday. And how about, because Johnny was talking about in the last segment, he's anticipating a lot of unders in the Coastal Carolina versus LSU series. How about if we take a look at a team that has been very much going under over the last few days? I'm talking about you, the New York Yankees, who they're going to be playing against the LA Angels. Tyler Anderson is on the bump for the Angels. Carlos Rodon is on the bump for the Yankees. The total has went from an 8.5 to a 9, even though the New York Yankees, well, they scored on Wednesday. That's better than what they had done in their previous games. They had, in their previous three games, not scored a single run, and they went through 30 straight innings without scoring a single run, but here they are as -250 to -273 favorites. Every team +210 to a +230 is that number on the Halos. And right now this total is at 9. Now I am looking at this run line at a -120, and I'm going to be willing to lay with the Yankees. I have been the schmuck that has been burnt by this team all series long, though. And man, this has been rough, to say the least. For the New York Yankees, They went, as I mentioned, zero runs scored over the course of 30 innings, but this actually dates back even further. If you want to go all the way back to Thursday when they were playing against the Kansas City Royals, if you date it back to when they won that 1-0 game, they have went now a grand total of, if my math serves me correctly, they have went 64 innings with 7 runs scored. This for a New York Yankees team that has a minus 6,000 favorite in Aaron Judge to be able to win MVP. One of the best teams that money can buy. They get Paul Goldschmidt. They get Cody Bellinger in the offseason. Ben Rice, Trent Grisham have come along for the ride. And all of a sudden, it's just went straight down the toilet bowl. Like, sometimes this is just baseball. Like, sometimes these teams, they go into, like, a rut, a ditch. You can utilize your favorite valley term here. They're in the Grand Valley. They're in the Grand Canyon right now. It's been rough, to say the least, for the New York Yankees. But what they do have is momentum in the form of their starting pitcher in Carlos Rodon, who's been rock solid all season long. Did have a pair of rough starts against the Boston Red Sox, but if you look at him starting against teams not named the Boston Red Sox this year, has been supplying a sub-275 ERA. He's limited the hard contact quite a bit as well, especially at Yankee Stadium. He's been only allowing about 1.1 home runs per 9 innings. The swings and misses have certainly been there for him as well, so he's been able to do a nice job on this front, and he does go up against an Angels team that has been very much all or nothing. And it's not like the Angels in this series have been absolutely smacking the cover off the ball either. Like, they win the game on Wednesday by a count of 3-2, and for the Angels, they are a top three team in the big leagues in terms of home runs hit on a per at-bat basis, but they're also right at the bottom of the big leagues in terms of on-base percentage, and you just have so many of these feast or famine bats out there, that's not even funny. Taylor Ward has been able to give you 18 home runs this year, sub-275 on-base. Logan Ohapi, 13-plus home runs, sub-275 on-base. Joe Adell, setting fire to the rain, 13-plus home runs. He's been giving you about a 290 on-base. Like, even Mike Trout has been hitting below a 230 thus far this season, so you've got an Angels team that's full of a bunch of guys that they're either going to hit the ball of the yard or they're going to strike out. And I do think that there's going to be quite a few strikeouts in this game. And for the Yankees, at some point it's going to be able to come through for them, but you're betting on when. And for me, sometimes when you're betting on when, it causes for a few losses. Like, that's been on me the last few days, thinking, oh, there's no way that the Yankees can be held down by Kyle Hendricks. Oh, there's no way that the Yankees can be held down by Jack Konowitz. Held down by both, but now they get a guy, Tyler Anderson, who regression had been coming towards him for years. Like, this guy going all the way back to his last year with the LA Dodgers, I believe that that was the 2021 season, if memory serves me correct. I mean, he had been just so lucky being able to get out of so many different situations, and now it's really starting to catch up with him. With our good friend and Tyler Anderson, he has given up 3-plus runs in 4 out of his last 5 starts. But, I mean, additionally, he still has north of a 4.7 fielding independent, giving up a home run and a half per 9 innings, north of 3 walks per 9 innings, fewer than 7.5 strikeouts per 9. This should be a case where the Yankees bust through, get the job done. But we know that the Yankees probably should have gotten the job done on Tuesday. Should have been able to bust through and get the job done on Wednesday. Had 2 very favorable matchups. Did not get it done there. I'm the schmuck that's going to be on the Yankees once again. I'm going to be Leyland Delay, that minus 120 run line. But at the very least in this case, because we've got Carlos Rodon on the mound, I am not taking the over. Now they're at a 9. I do think that you've got some solid value to the under. I do think that he fans the Angels. So I'm looking at that run line, and I'm looking at the under. What else you're able to look at is the splits for all games on the betting board. When you go to VSiN.com, our exclusive betting splits are unlike any other. They come straight from the source over at Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks that gives you amazing insights as to where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings, it provides a little bit more of a broad market perspective. This means that you're getting real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every single game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month over at VSiN.com/subscribe. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we saw the Houston Astros have a nice outburst with their offense against the Sacramento A's. on Wednesday. They were able to bust out for a double-figure amount of runs, and it's just always oh-so-glorious when you get these games out there in Sacramento, as the overs, they have been cashing all season long. We've been seeing about 60% of these games going over, and I'm going to be back in on an over with regards to the game that we're getting on Thursday. This is 917-918 on the card, with it being Colton Gordon on the bump for the Houston Astros, and one Mr. Jacob Lopez goes for the A's. And with the Athletics, you're going to be getting them about plus 113 to plus 120. In terms of that plus price, as them as the underdog, between minus 127 to minus 132 is that number on Houston. And total's now up to 10.5. I'm still willing to go over. Like, the way that the ball is flying out there in Sacramento is insane. And these home and road splits that darn near all these pitchers have is absolutely ridiculous. Now, Jacob Lopez, coming off of a relatively good start, he went north of five innings scoreless in his last time out, so I mean, credit to Jacob Lopez. And for the Athletics, they had an almighty funk where they had went 1-20 in the stretch of 21 games, and certainly they've been looking a little bit better than that recently, but I can't recall ever seeing a team just having so many guys that have been so much more miserable on the road rather than at home. And Lopez is really the lone exception. For Lopez, 318 home ERA, 692 ERA on the road. But with that said, he's also given up four home runs in his 17 innings at home and has allowed just six earned runs. So that means that he's probably going to be doing for a little bit of negative regression. Now with Lopez, what does he do? He gets strikeouts. This guy has been able to give you in that neighborhood about 12 strikeouts per nine innings. Just an absolute machine there. He's also giving up 3.9 walks per nine innings. He's giving up north of 1.8 home runs per nine innings. And all of a sudden, the Houston Astros starting to find it a little bit more. So on Wednesday, Jose Altuve get his 12th home run of the season. Isak Paredes has been able to give you 15-plus bombs. Christian Walker is starting to give you a little bit more, but he and Yunior Diaz, a sub-285 on base. You could use a little bit more out of those guys, but even these guys like Mauricio Dubon are starting to pick it up just as coach for the Astros. And I will say for the Astros, this has been a rock-solid bullpen. You've got the Bryans, Brian King, Brian Abreu, Bennett Sosa. He's been able to hold down the four. Josh Hader is looking like the Josh Hader of old. You've got a bunch of guys with a sub-275 ERA for this team. And overall, they've been a top-10 team in terms of their bullpen ERA. Dead last in the big leagues is the Athletics, as you just really don't have anything reliable for this team. You've got, I believe, one guy in Hogan Harris that is currently in the bullpen with a sub-425 ERA. Mitch Spence was looking solid when he was in the bullpen, but now they've had to thrust him into a starter's role. Even Mason Miller, the closer, has been having a rough go of it this season. Now for the Athletics, the offense has been neither here nor there. They've been about league average in terms of their run generation. Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom entered into Wednesday with a combined 29 home runs. Both give you about a 330 on base. And Jacob Wilson, in my opinion, needs to be the front runner for AL Rookie of the Year. Like, my gosh, this guy has been absolutely supreme. He's been able to hit for north of 350 this far this season. On base percentage, hovering right around 400. He wasn't drawing a lot of walks towards the beginning part of the season, and I'm going to call it what it is. It's not like he's getting like 100 million billion walks right now, but he's been walking a little bit more, so a bit of credit where it is too. So he's been able to do a nice job there. They've dealt with a few injuries to the likes of A. Miguel Andujar, but certainly I do think that with the A's, they're going to be able to help out with regards to the total. Colton Gordon posing up a 5 ERA, but I do think that the Astros, they just continue to land base a A's team that's been giving up runs upon runs when they've been out there in Sacramento. I'm going to be taking a look at the Astros in this spot. I personally am going to go run line, take a shot on that plus price, and I'm in on the over. And coming up next, how about if we look at the National League side of things for this Thursday on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. For those that are watching some live baseball right now at 12:45 a.m. Eastern, you have seen the L.A. Dodgers have a two-run lead and completely throw that into the abyss. Justin Wroblewski loaded up the bases with no outs. The San Diego Padres are able to play a pair of runs, as I have mentioned this on the show quite a bit. Xander Bogaerts, since getting to the San Diego Padres, has been about as useful as a poopy-flavored lollipop, and he did something. He hit a double. He was able to drive in the run that has tied this game up. You've got this game going into the bottom of the ninth, so hey, for those that are up late out there on the East Coast, bars are still open until 2 a.m. You've got yourself some good, clean fun that is going to be going down here. So Let's see what we get there. And personally, I'm riding out a San Diego Padres plus money line ticket. So let's see if we're able to get that one in. And how about if we take a look at things that we are going to be getting on this card for Thursday, as well as we do have ourselves a demonstrative money line between the Padres and the LA Dodgers. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the bump for the Dodgers, and you've got Ryan Burgert, who's going to be going for the Padres. Hopefully I said that correct. As for the San Diego Padres, they are between plus $2, seeing as good as a plus 212 out there. Right in that neighborhood, about minus 240 to minus 250 is where you find the Dodgers. And the total on this game is 9, shaded down to the under. And I do like the under in this spot. For Burgert, he's been actually relatively solid here for the San Diego Padres. He's only made a few starts, but he also appeared a little bit in long relief. Not a guy that's going to necessarily get you a whole bunch of swings and misses, but he's able to supply you with about a 250 ERA. He's doing a nice job of just not beating himself, keeping things out in front of him in the way that he's not giving up a lot of walks. So those are the sorts of guys that you want to take a look at coming up from the minor league level that could provide a little bit of bang for your buck. He's been keeping the ball in the yard, giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. And ever since he got thrust into the role of starter, he had that one game where he did give up the 4 walks against the Milwaukee Brewers, but everything else, 2 walks for fewer. So I do like that. And then for Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he's actually really starting to give up a few walks, a little bit north of 3 walks per 9 innings. So that's been a little bit less than tremendous. Still does a nice job, be able to hold things out in front of him in terms of not giving up home runs, as he's given up less than 0.7 home runs per 9 innings. Still sub 3 ERA. Had a few shaky starts against the Arizona Diamondbacks this season, but all in all, he has been a rock for an LA Dodgers team that has dealt with so many injuries. Like, you just go down the list. If you're looking at the bullpen, Blake Treinen, Brasurdo Graterol, they just got Michael Kopech off the injured list. So, I mean, it has just been a rash of injuries out there. And then, obviously, with the starting rotation, Roki Sasaki, you've got Blake Snell still currently on the injured list. I mean, it's just been up, down, all around. Bobby Miller has just been, it's been not great ever since his rookie season as well. Both been banged up, and then when he's been out there on the mound, he's just been ineffective in general. So for the LA Dodgers, it's been just not great, to say the least, on that front. But what has been great has been this offense. How about the LA Dodgers right now leading the way in terms of all of baseball, in terms of runs per game? This was entering into the day on Wednesday, but I am averaging right in that neighborhood about 6.1 runs per contest. Absolutely doing a supreme job there. You've got a ton of power with Shohei Ohtani. Continuing to do Shohei Ohtani things. He's been able to give you 24-plus home runs this season, getting on base, giving you north of a 370 on base. And then you want to take a look at guys moving the line. How about Freddie Freeman, Will Smith? They are getting jiggy with it. North of a 400 on base. Taz Hernandez doesn't really draw a lot of walks, but he's been able to do a nice job of being able to slug out the deep ball himself. You've been able to get a double-figure amount of homers out of quite a few of these guys towards the middle of the lineup. It's been a little bit of a hot and cold year for Mookie Betts, but he's been on 9 home runs. He's been able to give you just a relatively good on-base percentage here over the last few weeks as well. And Andy Paz, 15-plus home runs. Love what he's bringing to the table. And for the Padres, this has been a, for lack of a better term, pedestrian offense. They have been right around about league average in terms of runs per game. Now, Jackson Merrill being banged up has hurt them a little bit, as he's had a few different injuries this season. Xander Bogaerts, I mentioned, he did have that nice RBI here on Wednesday. It's not been great for him, to say the least, but you've got a trio of guys that are supplying the boom. Gavin Sheets, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. Double-figure amount of homers for all three of those guys. And for Machado, it took him a little bit of time to be able to find his power, but he's really done a nice job finding a way on, hitting north of 300. For Luis Arraez, it's been case where he's been a little bit, shall we say, down from what you'd typically expect from him. Hitting below a 300 is just not what you expect out of Luis Arraez, but still has been able to do a nice job of being able to give this team some production here recently, especially in the game on Wednesday. And you take a look at this bullpen of the San Diego Padres, it's one of the best that you're going to find in the National League. They are having to use up quite a few guys here tonight, and for the credit of the LA Dodgers, they're going to have a pretty locked and loaded bullpen, because they had sort of a piggyback situation with Emmett Sheehan along with Justin Robelsky, with Robelsky throwing 5 innings of long relief, and they did stick with him when he loaded up the bases with no outs in the 9th inning, which I thought was very, very curious. Not sure what's going on there, but I mean, for the San Diego Padres, even though you did have to use up a few guys on this Wednesday, it's not like you utilized a lot of the trustworthy guys like Jeremiah Estrada, Andre Morejon. Now, we'll see if we get extra innings or not, but I mean, those two guys did not come in. They're able to give you a sub 3.5 ERA. Yuki Matsui has been pretty rock solid for this team as well, so you've got a lot that is going on there, and my goodness, you had a walk-off homer by Will Smith, so he did get jiggy with it. 4-3, Robert Suarez has now blown his second save in the last 7 days, so you did get the Dodgers to be able to get the job done 4-3. If you, like me, had the Padres on the money line, well, a fan who reached out and Fernando Tatis Jr. went at the wall. He tried to catch it, was unable to pull it in. If you had the Dodgers on the money line, thank that fan that caught that ball. Now, for the LA Dodgers, I've been tracking this quite a bit. They do not cover the run line in this game, and they really have been over the last few years one of the best teams at being able to get the job done in terms of winning these games by multiple runs. This was a solo shot that was able to walk it off, and they were leading by 2 runs going into the 9th inning as well. So they do have that one go into the abyss a little bit if you had that run line. So this now gives them, because I actually have a little bit of a sheet where I just tally ticker it off, you've got 355 wins for the Dodgers since the beginning of the 2022 season. All but 65 have now been by multiple runs, and they have had 13 one-run wins thus far this season. They have had 21 one-run wins or fewer each out of the last 3 seasons, so they are on pace to very much eclipse that. So you do have that with the LA Dodgers, but still, when I take a look at this game that we are going to be getting on Thursday to turn this forward a little bit after a very wild ending with regards to Wednesday, you do have a Dodgers team that I do think that they provide a little bit of value if you're looking a little bit more towards the run line, ironically enough. Right now, we're finding that in the neighborhood about a minus 120 or so. Wouldn't really want to go past that just because with the Padres, I would need a bit more bang for my buck on the money line. If this does get up to more like a 225, and we could see that overnight with the Padres, I'd be looking there. If not, we'd be looking more at that minus 120 on the Dodgers run line, because I do think that they supply the boom, but I also do think that Yamamoto goes out there, holds down the fort, shuts down the Padres. So going to be looking at that 9-under. And what else I'm looking at, how about an amazing package over here at Circa? Like, this is just absolutely ridiculous what they're shelling up. You're able to get a 2-night stay here over at Circa for $400, and that includes all the taxes, all the resort fees, and that's big, because for those that don't know about traveling to lovely Las Vegas, trust me, they get you on those resorts fees. But you've got a 2-night dining credit, or you've got a 2-night stay. You get a $100 dining credit. You get a $100 beverage credit. So there's $200 back in your pocket right there. And then you get your own day bed over at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops, all for $400. Runs all the way through September 4th. Don't miss out now. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I live here like 15 to 20 miles away from Circa, and I actually might take them up on that offer. Like, I just the dining credit alone in the day bed. That's actually a really, really good deal. So I might need to do that myself. What else is a pretty good deal is taking a look at this run line price that I'm seeing right now in terms of one of the, shall we say, afternoon games that we're going to be getting on Thursday. And thank goodness gracious, by the way, if the day ends in Y, we need day games in Major League Baseball. We're going to be getting plenty of them on Thursday, and this is going to be one of them. The San Francisco Giants play host to the Cleveland Guardians, with Kevin Williams on the bump for Cleveland, and one Logan Webb is on the bump for San Francisco. Giants are between about a minus 165 to a minus 170 favorite. You're going to be able to get the Guardians about plus 150, plus 152-ish total on this game. It is 7, but there is a reason why this total is set so low. Logan Webb, throughout his career, has always been at his best at home. For Logan Webb, a little bit north of a 4 ERA away from home, and it's not like he gives up a ton of the deep ball. He gives up about 0.7, 0.8 home runs per 9 innings when he's on the road. 0.4 home runs per 9 innings at home. That ERA goes down to a 2.68. Now, is he the beneficiary of the fact that San Francisco is very much a pitcher-friendly ballpark? Oh, absolutely he is, but and this guy has been absolutely rocking and rolling this year. He's getting 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's been able to do a nice job of holding it down with a 2.58 ERA, but just a 2.33 fielding independent. Going against guy in Mr. Gavin Williams, who he's been giving up the walks. 5 walks per 9 innings. You bring in a guy to be able to help out the lineup in Rafael Devers. I think that he's going to be a big key here for the San Francisco Giants lineup. Getting to our good friend in Williams and covering this run line, you're able to get plus money on the Giants run line. I like that. I like the over. And what else I like? Taking a look at what we've all got on a loaded Thursday in sports. Up next, right here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.